We are joined on the line now by Daniel Kovalik, who is a human rights lawyer, author of the newly released book, The Plot to Overthrow Venezuela, and the book, No More War. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could start by telling us about what happened this past Sunday when the Venezuelan government foiled what appears to have been a coup attempt.
Yes, well, apparently around 20, 21 individuals entered Venezuela from the Colombian, near the Colombian-Venezuela border. They entered by sea, by the Caribbean. Apparently, they were led by Silver Corp USA, a U.S. Mercenary organization based in Florida. Eight individuals involved in that coup were killed, and another 12 or 13 were arrested, including two Americans, two former Special Forces soldiers who fought alongside the founder of Silver Corp USA, Jordan Goudreau. And the one thing the press is not talking about is that they were initially intercepted by fishermen who actually confronted them and then called Venezuelan authorities to put down the coup.
And what's the evidence that the U.S. Government orchestrated this, and what's the direct evidence of U.S. involvement?
Well, there's, I would say, circumstantial evidence. First of all, Mike Pompeo, in trying to deny U.S. involvement, he said there's no involvement, he said no direct involvement of the U.S. in that operation, suggesting, of course, that there was indirect involvement. And what is clear is that this Silver Corp USA, which led these operations, signed a contract that's now online. A number of news agencies have published it, with Juan Guaido, the person that the U.S. appointed to be the new leader of Venezuela. Guaido offered millions of dollars to Silver Corp USA to kidnap and Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, and bring him to the U.S. So there's a few interesting facts about that. First of all, the monies that Guaido promised would have come from the United States, because they came from the millions of dollars given to Guaido out of the funds, Venezuelan government funds, that the U.S. has seized in the United States, freezed and seized, and then given to Guaido. So that money certainly indirectly came from the U.S. In addition, there's no way that these folks, had they been successful in bringing kidnapping Maduro and bringing him to the U.S., there's no way they could do that without U.S. government permission. You know, they take a sitting head of state and bring him to the U.S. I mean, they would have had to have government, U.S. government support. Finally, what I would say is that, you know, a few weeks ago, Donald Trump put a bounty on President Maduro's head, a $15 million bounty for anyone who would arrest him. And clearly these folks were thinking that they were going to arrest him, bring him to the U.S. and get the $15 million bounty. So, you know, there's a lot of fingerprints here of the U.S. on this. I think more details need to come out, but I think they will show that the U.S. ultimately was behind this.
And I understand two of the people that were arrested in this attempted invasion by boat were former Green Berets that are U.S. citizen, Luke Denman and Aaron Berry, that are now in prison in Venezuela.
Yes, that is very clear. And again, they both worked for Silver Corp USA based in the United States. Silver Corp USA was actually tweeting about the operations. You know, they've been very open that they were behind this, that they were doing it to take Maduro down. They were doing it under contract with, you know, the U.S.'s puppet, Juan Guaido. So we know an awful lot about what happened. And again, the whole thing was hatched certainly in Florida if not in Washington, D.C.
One of the things that the U.S. has been criticized for during this COVID-19 crisis is maintaining and expanding these sanctions on both Venezuela and Iran. Can you talk a little bit about that and the impact that those sanctions are having in Venezuela during this time?
Yes, well, we know these sanctions are deadly. There was a recent report done actually last year in 2019 by the Center for Economic Policy Research, which showed they estimated over 40,000 Venezuelans died in a one-year period between 2017 and 2018 due to the sanctions, and they based that on the medicines that Venezuela cannot get because of the sanctions, which includes HIV medicines, chemotherapy medicines, insulin, dialysis equipment. And based on that and the number of people who need those medicines to survive, they estimated 40,000 Venezuelans died in that one-year period, and that even more than 40,000 would die in the upcoming year, 2019, which we're still waiting for data on that. The point is, these sanctions are starving countries like Venezuela and Iran and Cuba and Nicaragua of life-saving medicines, of respirators. In the case of Cuba, we know that the U.S. has prevented respirators from getting there during a pandemic. And so the U.S. is intentionally hampering these countries' healthcare systems during a pandemic, killing tens of thousands of people. I mean, it's quite unconscionable.
And does the current situation with the putting a bounty on the head of Maduro, who is the head of state there in Venezuela, appear to be trying to use this pandemic as a cover to, again, overthrow the government of Venezuela as they've tried to do multiple times?
Absolutely, because not only did Trump put a bounty on Maduro's head, he also sent warships to the coast of Venezuela during this pandemic. He has openly stated that Venezuela should be ready for a surprise, you know, in terms of efforts, increased efforts to overthrow Maduro. So all of this appears to be a part of a plan to increase pressure on Venezuela during the pandemic, to destabilize the sovereign country in Venezuela during a pandemic, which is already destabilizing countries around the world. I mean, it's hard to fathom, really. And this has been denounced by the United Nations, by the Pope, by numerous human rights organizations, which are just saying, you know, you cannot do this sort of thing, especially during a world health crisis.
Well, and I wonder if you could just talk a little more about this bounty that the U.S. has put on Nicolas Maduro's head, saying that he is somehow involved in drug trafficking. What's their basis for that? Is there a basis for it?
There is no basis. In fact, I would urge people to go see a report by the Washington Office on Latin America, which is not, it's a human rights group, which has been pretty tough on the Maduro administration. But they did a recent report based on the U.S.'s own data showing that Venezuela is not a significant traffic point for drugs, especially cocaine, coming out of South America. And they concluded that these claims against Maduro were simply falsified. Meanwhile, the U.S.'s closest ally in the region, Colombia, provides the U.S. with about 94%. Of its cocaine, you know, and that doesn't stop the U.S. from militarily, politically, and economically supporting that country. So this is clearly a fabricated pretext for regime change.
And what is the situation in Venezuela with the coronavirus? I know there was, after the first case on March 26th, there was a national quarantine imposed. Is that still in place?
It is. And because Venezuela quickly responded to this crisis, unlike the United States, which, as we know, took at least 6 weeks to respond to, Venezuela, even despite U.S. sanctions, even despite the pressure, is doing better than any country in the region to deal with this crisis. The last I looked over the weekend, the last statistics I saw were that you had about 350 people who have tested positive for coronavirus in Venezuela, and there were 10 deaths up to that point. Very small numbers. And it's because the Venezuelan government acted quickly, even before the first positive case, to try to get on top of this pandemic. Frankly, we could probably learn a lot from them and how to handle this crisis.
And what's the role of the media in maintaining that national quarantine? I understand the state media has been ensuring that they continue the coverage of this pandemic and warn people about staying home. Are there other measures that are being taken other than just notifying people via the media?
Well, it is a voluntary stay-home measure, first of all. But they have local community organizations trying to urge people to stay at home. And as I understand it, about 90% of the population is abiding by that and staying at home. And you have the leaders of Venezuela, including Nicolas Maduro himself, who go on air with face masks on, you know, unlike Donald Trump, who won't wear a mask, who actually went to a mask producing company yesterday without wearing a mask. Maduro and his cabinet always go on TV with a mask to urge people to do that.
And the economy there, I know there's a large dependency on oil exports. How is that impacted by the current world economic situation, especially with the reduction in oil prices?
Well, because of the U.S. sanctions and because of the incredible drop in oil prices, the economy is in a very difficult situation there. There's no question about that. But the amazing thing that Venezuela is showing is that even in a bad economic situation, that if the people pull together and work towards, public health outcomes, they can be successful, and that is the case here. So even though the economy is under amazing strain, the Venezuelan government is finding a way to get health care to people, to get food to people, and they should be applauded for that.
Just before this crisis hit, there was a power crisis, and the U.S. support for Juan Guaido, as you mentioned, is and now they're attempting to carry out paramilitary coups, or someone is attempting to carry out a paramilitary coup. What's the current status of the Maduro government? Is there any election planned? Is Juan Guaido trying to take power in the midst of this?
Well, Juan Guaido is trying to take power. Obviously, he signed this contract with these mercenaries to try to seize power, but he doesn't have popular support. Meanwhile, the Maduro government is in talks with the more moderate sectors of the opposition to build national reconciliation. These talks include plans for legislative elections in the upcoming year, and they are talking about presidential elections as well. So, and again, that is not getting much attention, but there is a moderate opposition that is in dialogue with the Maduro government. And I think there will be legislative elections, certainly within the next year as a consequence. And much of the opposition has turned on Juan Guaido. They see him as an upstart. They see him as a lackey of the United States. And he's become an embarrassment, truthfully. And after this failed coup, I think any political capital he had left is just gone.
Well, I think we have to leave it there. I really want to thank you for joining us today. I've been speaking with Dan Kovalik, who is a human rights lawyer, author of the recently released book, The Plot to Overthrow Venezuela, and the new book, No More War. Thank you, Dan Kovalik, for joining us today on KBOO.
Thank you.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.